Around to ask if anybody had any specials. So, does anybody have any specials? All right. If not, open your Bibles, if you would, to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. With the Lord's Supper coming up, this has kind of been on my heart since I was on the way traveling back from West Virginia on Sunday. So, I'll confess I don't have much by way of an outline for us, but just some thoughts, some stuff in my head, just some stuff I want to talk about for just a little bit, if we can. Matthew chapter 26, if you would. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 26, only three verses. And we're going to jump around a little bit. Matthew 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, I know this is a familiar text to most of us. We're going to be here. We're going to be in the book of Exodus a little bit tonight as well. Because as I got to thinking about this and praying on it, with Lord's Supper coming up, and Lord willing, I'm going to make this first part. I'll finish the second one up Sunday night. But I got to thinking on the Lord's Supper. And something that we've seen as of late is this idea of close communion. We've seen open communion for quite some time. And the question that seems to get asked is, does it really matter? I've heard several times, and from several different places, the question is, you know, at the end of the day, how important is it? Does it really matter? And it's something we kind of, it's something we've got to look at. And the first thing, when we say, you know, there is a little bit of a difference there. I know it's something I'm sure we've heard of several times. But the idea of closed communion, which is what our church practices, is that of the Lord's Supper being reserved solely for its members here. The idea of closed communion, and I've heard it several different ways, is that of people in fellowshipping churches or sister churches being able to take it with them. And the idea of open communion that you see so much through the Catholic Church, through Protestant churches, is that of being open to anyone, more or less. And I don't want to take too much of your time. I do want to leave some time at the end of the service for a season of prayer. But when we look at this and we think about it, you know, it's one of those things that comes in, which one's right? And at the end of the day, how important of a thing is it? Well, I'll answer the second one first. How important of something is it? We see here, and we start here into Matthew, and we see who it was that gave us the institution to begin with. Folks, this was an institution given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd have to say it's pretty important. But not just that. You look down through history, this has been one of the hills, if I can put it this way. This has been one of the hills that our forefathers have died on for centuries. I mean, the untold number of our Baptist forefathers that have died on this hill, I'd say it's a pretty important hill. But I want us to kind of think of some stuff. And I want us to take a little bit and look on what the Word of God has to say about it. That's where I want to go back to Exodus. We got to remember, and this is something I want us to take into mind and take into account. was when it was that this was instituted. And I said, I'll confess right now, I don't have much of an outline. I'm about to break up just about every rule that's been drilled into my head for a little while. But it's just something I want us to think about and something I want to kind of talk about a little bit. Because it is something that's important, and we've seen such an issue with it. And it seems later and later, and as time goes on, we seem to find more and more of an issue. And it seems to be becoming something that's more and more of a hotly contested topic. But when was it that it was actually instituted? And I'm not talking about chapter and verse. It's what time of year was it that it was instituted, is what I want us to think on. And this is something that we have to remember. This was a time when they were celebrating Passover. Now, that's an important thing. So what does Passover have to say? Look, sometimes it's helpful for us to look back. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus. We might want to look at a little bit of guidance here from the laws concerning that of Passover. So if you turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12.
I don't know if he's got it up there.
But Exodus chapter 12. There's a few verses I want us to read here. We're going to spend quite a bit of time here in Exodus chapter 12. But keep your hand over in Matthew 26. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And Moses spake, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Now, I want us to kind of jump a little bit here. Jump with me, if you will, to verse 43 of this chapter. Verse 43 of Exodus 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." For sake of time, we'll stop there. I want us to think of one more verse. 14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Think on that for just a second. "Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." What do they mean by forever? It's kind of self-explanatory. It's pretty well self-explanatory. When the Lord gave this to the children of Israel, there are some things that you find inside of the Word of God that will say that you shall keep this until the new covenant. This was not one of those. It says you shall keep this as an ordinance forever. So for the children of Israel, for those born of the family of Jacob, this was an ordinance and an institution given to them for the rest of time. It doesn't go away. Now, what's important to look at in this? And there's a couple things I want us to see. You look in the first four verses. Really, you go into the first verses 3 and 4. I want us to look at something particular here. Verse 3 and 4 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month I shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." I want you to look at this here in verse 3. While Passover was something that was given to the entire nation of Israel and for all of them to partake of, that was to be done inside of their own household. Well, think on that for a second. It was to be done inside of their own house. So each individual family was to partake of it inside of their own house. The only exception that was given was if a household be too little for the lamb. And then the only exception there was that they had to take it with their neighbor directly next to them. That was only given. It was meant to be in each individual household. Hone in on that for a second. Think on that. Now, not only that, but you jump to verse 43. So it had to be done inside of the household. And not only that, it had to be done inside of the house. Verse 43, that's when it starts to tell us, not only was it that it had to be done inside of each individual household, so each family was represented, but it also wasn't to be taken out of there. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof." Now, that's one of the first things to remember that I want us to look at there. It says specifically, "There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. You shall not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house." That means that when Passover was taken, it had to be done still inside of that house. Those that came in could not leave with it. The only way to partake of Passover there was through the door. They had to be inside the house. It also says no stranger. Says, "And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. It means if they had someone that was traveling there that was a sojourner in the land, the only way for him to partake of the Passover was through circumcision, which means he had to be made as a Jew and all of his house, and every male in his house. Only then. So we see it wasn't just that it had to be partaken of in the household, but it could only be partaken of by those who had been circumcised, by those who had been set apart. That was something that set them apart from everyone else. So why do I bring this up? It's Old Testament, right? Why do I bring it up? It's Old Testament. It's old laws. Well, where do we get the teaching for unleavened bread in the Lord's Supper? Read the gospel accounts. Read Acts. I've read through all of them. The only thing it says in the gospel accounts and in Acts is that when Jesus took bread, he broke and blessed it. Doesn't tell us what kind of bread. Doesn't tell us that in the gospels. It doesn't tell us that in Acts. So where do we get unleavened bread from? We had to go back to the Passover to get unleavened bread. It's the only place we can. Matthew 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Mark 14, verse 22, it says, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body." I won't have you turn to all of them for sake of time. Luke 22, verse 19. Actually, verse 17. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Verse 19. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 11. Verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Nowhere in there do we hear it say unleavened bread. Now we understand in the Word of God that leaven is representative of sin. But where do we get the idea of unleavened bread? It has to come from Passover. It's the only place we find it. So if we're looking at Passover, why would we keep one thing and then throw out what it has concerning it over and everything else? It says it's to be done inside of each individual household. The thing about it is at the end of the day, we really don't have the right to throw out what we don't want to hear or what doesn't necessarily agree with the position that we want. We don't have the right to pick and choose. Folks, at the end of the day, it's God's word, not ours. We don't have the right to pick and choose. So what does it say on that? And that comes down to the question here. Is when this was done, who was it given to? We'll be back in Matthew 26. So when you get to the Lord's Supper, when it was instituted, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to observe Passover, he brought the 12 disciples with him. Now one of them left, being Judas Iscariot. So when the Lord's Supper was instituted, it was Jesus and the 11. So how was it conducted as? That's an important thing. I want us to think on that for just a second. How was it that Passover was conducted there? Because when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world during his earthly ministry, he fulfilled the entire law. That's what he was here for. He came and fulfilled the law in its entirety, which means he had to be obedient to all of it, including the laws concerning Passover. These were laws that were given, which carried a pretty stiff penalty. So when the Lord Jesus Christ met with his apostles and met with his disciples here for this, how was it that they met? As 11 individuals, representative of 11 different households, observing the Passover together under one roof, which they weren't to do? Or was it given as a head of the house, the other 11 members of his household with him? Think on that. It was all done in one room, which means it was done as one household in accordance with the law. That's what it had to be. So what does that mean for us today? And that's where I tend to start thinking on things. What does it mean for us today? So when we look at the Lord's Supper, how is it that it has to be taken? Under one individual household and under different households, if I could put it that way. Or with multiple different households together, or with any household that sees fit to join together and partake of it. What's the only way that it can be done? When it was instituted, it had to be done as one household. Which means that the only way that the Lord's Supper can be done is that close to the individual members of the household here. Can't be done in multiple households or whoever sees fit to walk through the door. So then who can partake of it? Who is it that can partake of it? And if I can put it this way, and I'm not the best at words, so I hope you'll forgive me with that. It can only be a qualified participant that can take part in it. The only ones that are truly able to take the Lord's Supper and to take that remembrance are the redeemed children of God that He's set apart and then joined to one of His local households. It can only be done in a local church. That's how it has to be done. And as far as I can see, I don't see an exception to that. Now, does it really matter? And that's the question. Does it really matter? Folks, if it was important enough for the Lord to institute it, then it matters. It matters a whole lot more than I think we even really realize. It's a beautiful remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. It's what Passover was for when it was instituted. It was a remembrance in their generations forever that we were once slaves, and then by the mighty hand of God, we are now set free. And it was such an important thing that it was only to be done by the children of Israel. That was a remembrance that only they could partake in. Or one that would identify himself as a Jew, or as one born in the land. It says, when he was circumcised and all of his children and all of the males in his household, then he would be as one born in the land. And then he could come near and partake. So folks, it's only meant. That was only meant for a child, for the children of Israel. For the Lord's Supper, it's only meant for the redeemed children of God. For an unconverted sinner, what is it that you're remembering? What are you remembering? You're still a slave. And as far as its importance, folks, if it was something that the Lord gave us, that's a hill worth dying on. If it's something that the Lord's given to us, that's a hill worth dying on. So it's something to think on the rest of the week. And I've got some more things that I want to look at, but I'll save that for Sunday night. It's just something I want us to think on. Does it really matter how we take of it, how we partake of the Lord's Supper as we have it coming up? Something to dwell on and to think on. Does it really matter how we partake of it? And how are we to do so? So that's all I've got. If you have a need or anything, I'll give you a time to come forward. Brother Griff, you come on ahead.